The possession of this divine love also means the absence of those desires and longings of what is called the natural man, which produce selfishness and unkindness and other qualities which create sin and error, and prevent the existence of this true brotherhood which men so earnestly desire as the forerunner of peace and goodwill. And the more of this divine love that enters into the soul of man, the less there is of evil tendencies and desires, and the more of the divine nature and qualities. The Father is all goodness and love and truth, and forgiveness, and kindness, and these qualities the souls of men become possessed of when they receive and possess the divine love. And when man is sincere and faithful, and possesses these qualities, they never leave him or change, and when this brotherhood shall be founded on them, it will be built on a rock and will continue to live and become purer and firmer in its binding effect, and in the great results that will flow from it, for its foundation stone will be the divine nature of the Father, which is without variableness or change and never disappointing. A brotherhood so created and joined together is, as I say, the only true brotherhood that will make for man a kind of heaven on earth, and banish wars and hatred and strife and selfishness, and the principle of mine and thine. The mine will be changed to ours, and all mankind will be truly brothers, without reference to race or sect or intellectual acquirements. All will be recognized as the children of the one Father. Such will be the effect of the existence of this love in men's souls on earth, and when such souls leave their envelope of flesh, they will find their homes in the kingdom of God, parts of the divinity of the Father, and partakers of his immortality. But only this divine love will fit the souls of men for this kingdom, because in this kingdom all things partake of this divine nature, and nothing which has not that quality can possibly enter therein. So men must understand that no mere belief or ceremony of church or baptism, or any of these things are sufficient to enable a soul to become an inhabitant of this kingdom. Men may do and deceive themselves in their beliefs that anything short of or other than this divine love can ensure them an entrance into the kingdom. Beliefs may help men to seek and aspire to the possession of this love, and other ceremonies may also assist, but unless and until this divine love is actually possessed by the souls of men, they cannot become partakers of the divine nature and enjoy the happiness and peace of the Father's kingdom. When the way to obtain this love is so easy and the joy of its possession is so great, it is surprising that men will be satisfied with the husks of formalism and the satisfaction and delusion of mere lip worship and intellectual beliefs. As I have said, this love is waiting for every man to possess, who sincerely and with true soul aspirations seek it. It is not a part of, but surrounding and enveloping every man, but at the same time forming no part of him unless his longings and prayers have opened up his soul, so that it may flow in and infill him with its presence. Man is never compelled to receive it, as he is never compelled to do other things against his will, but as in the latter case, when in the exercise of that same will, he refuses to let the divine love flow into his soul, he must suffer the penalty, which is the utter and absolute deprivation of any possibility to become an inhabitant of the 337, the Paget Messages 1916, Kingdom of God, or Celestial Kingdom, and of any consciousness of the fact of his immortality. Let men turn their thoughts and aspirations to God, and in truth and sincerely pray to the Father for an inflowing into their souls of his divine love, and have faith, and they always find that the Father will bestow his love upon them, in accordance with the extent of their aspirations and longings, which are mediums of opening up their souls to the workings of the Holy Spirit, which, as I have before written, is the messenger of God, for the conveying of his divine love from his fountainhead of love to the souls of the prayerful and aspiring men. In no other way can the divine love be possessed by man, and always it is an individual matter between the particular man and the Father. No other man or body of men or church or spirits or angels can do the work of the individual. As to him, his soul is the only thing involved, and only his aspirations, and his prayers, and his will can open up his soul to the inflowing of this love which makes him a part of its own divinity. Of course, the prayers and kind thoughts and loving influences of good men and divine spirits and angels can and do help the souls of men in turning to his love and in progressing in its possession, but as to the question, will a man become possessor or not of this love, it depends upon the man. Well, I have written enough for tonight and must stop. So my dear brother, I will say with all my love and blessings, good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. March 2, 1916. I am here, Jesus. I desire to write tonight on the subject of how the redeemed soul is saved from the penalties which sin and error has brought upon it. When a soul is in a condition of sin and error, it is not responsive to the inflowing of the Holy Spirit, and in order to get into a condition of receptivity to these influences, it must have an awakening as to its actual condition of enslavement by these things. Until such an awakening comes to it, there is no possibility of its receiving the love of God into it, and of turning its thoughts to the truths of God and to the practices of life that will help it in its progress towards a condition of freedom. I would not have mankind believe that any soul is compelled to stay in this condition of 338, slavery to sin, until the Holy Spirit comes to it with the Father's love to bestow it in all abundance, for the mission of the Holy Spirit is not to awaken man's soul to a realization of sin and death, but merely to bring to that soul this love when it, the soul, is ready to receive it. The awakening must come from other causes that influence the mind as well as the soul, and cause them to realize that the life man lives is not the correct life or one in accord with the demands of the laws of God, or with the real longings of their own hearts and souls. Until this awakening comes, the soul is really dead so far as its having a consciousness of the existence of the truths of its redemption is concerned, and such death means a continuance in such thoughts of sin and evil and in the life which leads only to condemnation and death for long, long years, it may be. But to come nearer to my point of discourse, the soul that is existing in sin and error will have, sooner or later, to pay the penalties for such sin and error, and there is no escape from the payment of these penalties except in the redemption that the Father has provided by the new birth. These penalties are only the natural results of the operation of God's laws, and they must be endured until the full penalty is paid. Even though a man may progress to higher condition of soul excellence and have much happiness, yet he must pay the last farthing and thus release himself from these penalties. With much love, I am your friend and brother, Jesus. March 4, 1916. I am here, Rose. I am your old acquaintance in the spirit world, and you have said that you loved me as a sister and wanted to make me happy, and you did, for I am very happy, thanks to your help. I am the soulmate of the judge, Judge Sirik, and I merely want to say that we are both with you at times and try to help you and receive help. He is progressing very rapidly now, and will soon be with me when I know he will be extremely happy. He wants me to say that he will never forget you and the great benefit you conferred upon him when you brought him in contact with me and enabled him to learn what was in the future for him in the spirit world. He is now a true believer in the truths of the Master and is trying to obtain the love in all its fullness, and he wants you to know that this love is a reality and not a mere thing of speculation. The Paget Messages 1916. He wants to come soon and write you a long letter as he promised, and he would come before. But your time is so occupied by the high spirits with their messages that he has not found the opportunity to write. Well, I must not write more, except to say that you have in store for you a happiness that you cannot conceive of. A soulmate that is so very beautiful and loving and beloved by us all, and who has a most wonderful influence over all with whom she comes in contact. And greater and above all else, you have the love and wonderful friendship of the Master, who comes to you so very often. Oh, I tell you that you are favored and should feel that great benefit of the companionship of the number of high spirits who come to you, for you do have a great number of these celestial spirits come to you and write, and cast over you the influence of their great love. I am your friend forever, and I want you to love me too. Yes, I try to help them, for I am present when they come, and some of them come to me for help. This is a wonderful work, and we are also interested in doing it. The dark spirits who seek your help seem to be as much impressed as any of us that you have so much influence over them, and when they start on the way to light, they, in many cases, find it, and then turn to you in gratitude and thanks. They are your friends forever, and say that they will always be with you and protect you. So my dear friend, I will say good night. Your friend, Rose McGovern. I am here, your Helen. Well, sweetheart, You have just had a letter from Rose, who has been waiting to write you for such a long time, and who is so happy that she could write you. She and the judge were here together, and both of them think a great deal of you, and are very happy in the thought that you helped them so much and caused them to come together even before he became a spirit. He says he wants to write. No, I was not present when she attempted to write, but White Eagle says, she was not a very bright spirit, but seemed to be in need of help. She may be some poor spirit who wants your help. Well, I was sorry that you were not in condition to take the master's message, and so was he, but he says that he will come again soon. He was not satisfied with the message and thought it best not to attempt to write tonight, as I see you are not in condition to write much. So with all my love, I will say good night, but I want one great big kiss, and your love. Your own true loving, Helen. I am here, Robert G. Ingersoll. I would like to finish my message tonight if agreeable to you. Well, under the circumstances, I do not think it best to write tonight, and I will postpone it as you say. I am very happy in progressing, thanks to that dear grandmother of yours. She is a wonderful spirit with a mind as clear as her soul is pure. I cannot tell you how much I owe to her, and her teachings and love. That is just what I want to write about, and I know that it is the important thing in the whole plan of God for man's salvation. So I will write on that after I have finished the message which I have already commenced. I thank you and will say good night. Your friend and brother in Christ, Robert G. Ingersoll. March 5, 1916. I am here, your Helen. Well, sweetheart, I merely want to say that I am sorry you are not in condition to write tonight, for the master rather expected that you would be able to take his message. But as you are not in condition, I will not attempt to write. I am very happy and I see that you are not so worried, and I am glad of it. Only believe what we say and you will soon be relieved. Your grandmother is here and says that you must pray more to the Father and let your thoughts turn more to Him and His love, for then you will find that the rapport between you and the celestial spirits will be much increased. She sends her love and will soon write you. Professor Salyards is also here and says that he will be pleased to finish his message at your earliest convenience. He says that he will come and do as you suggest. Well, I must not write more. But say that I love you with all my heart and soul. So with a great big kiss, I am your own true and loving, Helen. March 6, 1916. I am the last of the Mohicans, and want to write the line. I was an Indian who lived in the early days of your country's existence, and I was not a civilized Indian as you would say, but was a warrior and a 339, the Paget Messages 1916, leader of my tribe, and have many scalps to my credit. So you see, there are some Indians in the spirit world who still glory in the deeds which they did on earth, and still feel the hatred and enmity against the pale faces who inflicted injury upon them. But I understand that some Indians have lost all such feelings, and that they are happier by having done so, and it causes me to think that I may be mistaken in holding my hatred against the white people, and that I will never reach the happy hunting grounds so long as I am in the present condition of bitterness and hope for revenge. What do you think of it? I will do as you say, and I see that your guide, White Eagle, is a very happy spirit, so I will ask his advice. This is all I wish to say. Good night, Anonymous. I am here, Seligman. I am the Mohammedan who has written you before. I come to tell you that I have made investigations since I last wrote you and find that what you told me about the divine love is true, and I have received some of it in my soul and am progressing towards the soul spheres, where they tell me more of it can be found and where live those who have received it in greater abundance than I have. I have never in all the long years of my pilgrimage in the spirit world before learned of the existence of this love, and our prophet never taught us of the existence of this love or anything more than the love which we all have, and the way to progress therein. But now I know that there is such a thing as the divine love, and that it is the only love that will enable us to gain the kingdom of heaven. Very few of my people have any conception of the existence of such a love, and, consequently, they are in the spirit spheres where only those who have the natural love live, and they, while in many instances, are good and pure spirits, in this natural love, yet they are not the possessors of that happiness which the divine love gives. I am so glad that I came to you when I did and had the opportunity of meeting and listening to the Christian spirits, for their teachings, as well as their condition of beauty and happiness, have caused my soul perceptions to open up to the truth, and placed my soul in such a condition that the divine love can flow into and fill it with its influence and the essence of the Father. I am now in the third sphere and am trying with all the longings and aspirations of my soul to 340, get more and more of this love, and these loving Christian spirits are helping me so much and trying to show me the way and encourage me to increase efforts and faith. I shall never rest contented now until I have received this love to its fullest extent, for I am told that there is no limit to the amount that I may receive, and no sphere either in the spiritual or celestial world that I may not attain to. As I receive more of this love, I find that I become more unselfish, and there arises in me the desire that my brothers who know not of this love shall learn of it and seek to obtain it, and I will go back to the home of my brothers and try to teach them the way in which it may be found, and the great happiness that comes with its possession. So I thought that I would tell you of my great fortune and of the hope that I now have of a future bliss in the heavens of God. Seligman, that is the name that I wrote. Well, if you did not receive it in that way, there was a mistake, for that is my name. I will not write more tonight. Thanking you for the help you gave me, I am your friend in Christ, Seligman, the Mohammedan. I am here, mother of Leslie. I am here, the mother of the boy who is sitting close to you. I am so glad that I have the opportunity to write to him, for, while it has really not been a great while since I wrote him, yet, it seems so to me, and I have so much love for him, and desire so much to tell him so. I am very happy both on account of my own condition, and because I see that there is developing in his soul the great love of the Father in greater and greater abundance. He may not realize this to the full extent, but it is true, and I am able to see it and rejoice that it is so. His father is also very happy, and is progressing and is now in condition to soon make sure his coming to me, where we can be together, without any necessary separation. His father says that he is with his son quite often and is trying to encourage him, and cause him to believe that his earthly affairs will continue to grow better as they will. His sisters are here and also send their love and want him to know that they are very happy, notwithstanding that they see that another brother on earth is not in that condition of soul development that they so earnestly pray for, but they have great hope that at some time very soon he will have an awakening, that will cause him to turn his thoughts to the higher things of life. And the Paget Messages 1916, seek the love of the Father, which is waiting for him to ask for. While we all feel the great want of spirit progression that our brother lacks, and that he is not very happy and is doing those things that tend to turn him away from the things that would make him happy, and more in accord with the will of the Father, and also that he really suffers at times because of his soul condition, yet, we are not really unhappy, because we know it is only for a season, and that sooner or later our prayers and influence will have their effect, and he will realize that there is something more to live for, as well as die for, than the mere material things of earth. Well, I do not know that I should write more tonight, especially as there is a girl here who is very impatient to write, and who is almost selfish in her desires to tell her Leslie, as she calls him, that she loves him more and more. So thanking you, I will say good night. With all my love to my son, and thanks to you, I will say, I am his mother, Priscilla Stone. March 7, 1916. I am here, Louis I. O'Neill. Yes, it is he who is called Judge. I merely want to say a word, as I have not had the opportunity to write you for a long time. I am now in a better condition than I was, and am in more light and have less suffering thanks to the beautiful spirits with whom you brought me in contact. I find that as I get rid of some of my old beliefs, the better I am and the more progress I make and the less darkness surrounds me. Your wife has helped me a great deal, and she is a wonderfully beautiful spirit and filled with love and kindness. I see a number of my old friends, but I am sorry to say that a great many of them are in darkness and suffering. Liscombe is in a very bad condition and has not progressed any, thus far, though I have tried to help him some, but as you know, he had a dogmatic and all-knowing temperament on earth. So he has the same qualities here, and it is hard to make him see things differently from what he thinks they are or should be. You may know that he frequently visits his old haunts in the neighborhood where he spent so many hours in drink, and he is still drinking as he thinks and seems to get a kind of satisfaction out of the deceit, and he does not seem to be inclined to turn his thoughts to anything of a higher nature. I tell you that the appetites of earth are strong with the spirits who come to this world with them unsatisfied or not gotten rid of, and it is so sad that he has them to the extent that he has when he passed over. But sometime I hope that he will have an awakening to the true condition of his existence and to the necessity of his having his thoughts away from these things and seeking those things which will enable him to get out of his awful darkness. Now you must not think from this that I am a very highly developed spirit, for I am not, but just as the higher spirits have a work to do, so have I, and my work, of course, can be only with those who are in a worse condition than I am, and strange as it may seem to you, every time I help one of these lower spirits I realize that I help myself. What a wonderful provision of God this is, and if men would only realize this, they would live more in accordance with the golden rule. Yes, I have seen Morris Smith and John Clark and many others that we both know, and also Perry. He is in a bad condition too, and does not seem to be much inclined to listen to the advice of some spirits who come to him. Your grandmother seems to be trying hard to help him, and he seems to have more confidence in her than in any other spirit, and at times it looks as if she is helping him, and I have no doubt that she is. But then he will relapse back into his old condition and bewail the awful deed that he committed. As you know, he was a man of deep conviction, and he seems now to have some conviction which holds him to his conditions of suffering and darkness. Well, if we only knew while on earth what the truths of this spirit world are. You certainly are wonderfully proud to have revealed to you all these things, and I am told that the spirits from the celestial spheres come to you and give you their messages of truth. I will confirm this is unaccountable, and you must wonder too, for when I was on earth I did not know that you had any conception of the things that come to you now. I know that I did not, and that my beliefs were only those which were to rely upon what the Bible taught as I thought, and there was no reality to me in these teachings, and the only effect was to create in me beliefs which I now see in many particulars were all wrong. At least they have now been realized, and I am told that they will not be, and yet they cling to me in a way that holds me to my present condition. I wish when on earth I had known what you now know, for if I had I would, 341, the Paget Messages 1916, am certain, be in a better condition of light and happiness. Well, I have written a long time, and I feel better for having done so, and I thank you for the opportunity. So with my kind regards, and in hope that I may come to you at some time and write again, your friend and well-wisher, Louis I. O'Neill. I am here, John G. Carlyle. I am the spirit who wrote you once before, and I merely want to say tonight that I am better than I was then, and am not in so much darkness, but yet I suffer and am paying the penalty for my sins. The advice that you gave me and also the help that I received from Mr. Riddle have benefited me a great deal, and I am hoping that sometime, I may get into the light and be free from my sufferings. If I could only have faith in what he and other good spirits tell me, I believe that I would soon be in a much better condition, but somehow I don't seem to be able to have this faith. My old ideas stick to me, and although I realize that many of them were wrong, yet they cling to me and hold me in the darkness and sufferings. This may seem strange to you, but it is a fact. Beliefs are wonderful things of substance and strength when they have become fixed in a man's mind by long years' acquiescence and fostering, and that was my case. As you may know, my animal appetites were strong, and I gave free vent to them, and to ease my conscience I embraced certain beliefs, which as I lived and fostered them, came to be realities to me, and now they stand before me, as it were, like a wall of brass, and rarely give me an opening to get beyond or out of them. My friends that you brought to me are trying to help me, and at times I feel that what they tell me must be true. But then comes in the old long years of belief, and I lose the benefit of what influence I may have received from these spirits who I see are so beautiful and happy. I do not understand this enigma, and because I do not, I sometimes think that what I think I see in these others are mere hallucinations of my own mind. And then again these influences come to me with such force that I think I must break away from these bands of belief and see the light as they see it. But the struggle is hard and the progress is slow. I tell you that if I could only come again into my earth life, I know that my life, or rather the way I lived it, would be very different, but it is too late now and I must make my fight here, and it is a hard one. 342. The thing that gives me greatest hope is that while Riddle may not have been so bad a man as I was on earth, yet he was a mere man with no special pretensions to goodness, and now I see him a beautiful and happy spirit, and he says it is not on account of any inherent goodness in himself, but because he has received to some degree what he calls the divine love, and he urges me to try to believe in this love and open up my soul to its inflowing. It may be right, but I don't seem to be able to understand what he means, or to find the way to open up my soul as he advises. But this I know, he has given me hope, and I at times make the effort to follow his advice, and I even pray, but I am afraid that my faith is not very strong, though I observe that when he is with me I seem to have more power to make this effort than when I am alone. And he is kind to me, for he comes quite frequently, and at times, there comes with him a wonderfully beautiful spirit who he says is your wife, and she seems to have so much love with her. I say she comes with him, and when she does, her influence is wonderful and I feel nearer leaving my old evil thoughts and getting into light than at any other time. And she talks to me in such words of love and encouragement, that it makes me believe that there must be a better place and a better condition for me. So you see from all this what thoughts and beliefs cemented to a man's soul by an evil life on earth will do for him when he becomes a spirit and all these evil things come before him like a panorama, as they do in my case. But I sowed and I am now reaping, a saying which I often heard on earth, but which to me was meaningless as it is, I have no doubt, to many others who are living such lives as I lived. Well, my friend, I must not write more, but I feel better, for I realize that it does me good to come in contact in the way of exchanging thoughts with a mortal, for notwithstanding I have no mortal body, yet in thought and desires I am still a mortal. So, thanking you for your kindness to me, I will say good night. Your friend, John G. Carlyle. I am your old friend and chum, Frank Davis. Well, I am glad to be able to write you, a thing when on earth, I never expected anybody could do, and it is only recently that I learned that such a method of communication could be used. I am quite happy now, but when I first came to the spirit world I was in considerable darkness and suffered some. As you may know, I was in the Paget Messages 1916, ordinarily good man when on earth. By that I mean I never had any really bad or vicious habits which a great many men have, and I loved my wife and children very much and died loving them. You also know that I was not what was called an orthodox Christian, having imbibed my beliefs from my father, but I believed in God and, also, that he would not be severe on me for my shortcomings when I should come to stand in his presence. But I now know that there were other things that I should have believed and experienced in order to fit me for a condition of happiness which I firmly expected would be mine. I have found that belief is a very important thing, both on earth and in the spirit world, and that these creations of the mind have a wonderful influence in determining the happiness or the contrary of a spirit in this life. I never had any of the love of God in my heart, except in a general way, which was, I suppose, of the same nature as the love for my family, but, I am afraid, not to the extent that I loved them. And also, I rather prided myself on my own moral excellence, and supposed such qualities would be sufficient to make me a pretty happy spirit, but I soon found my mistake. When we come to offset our moral qualities against the evil thoughts and deeds of our earth life, they are largely in the minority and don't count for very much while these evil thoughts and deeds, or rather the recollection of them, exist in our minds and memories. Well, it will do no good to rehearse the experience of my earth life now, but I found myself in darkness and suffering and realized that I was paying the penalties for the sins that I had committed. But after a while these recollections commenced to leave me and I found that I was getting into more light and less suffering, but the movement was very slow, and at times, hardly perceptible. After a while I met some beautiful and loving spirits who seemed to take an interest in me, and told me of the way to get rid of my sufferings and to reach the plains of light where happiness was, and I had to listen to them, for I saw that they were so superior to me, and they told me that they had been mortals like myself and had come up out of darkness and suffering such as I was then undergoing. Well, to make a long story short, I finally acted on their advice and found that way, and you will not be surprised when I tell you that the way was through and by the divine love of the Father. I tell you this because I know, and all the speculations of philosophers and religionists 343, cannot bear a feather's weight in the argument against my know. Yes, I found this love, or rather it found me, and now I am very happy.